Let's read together Mark chapter 14, verses 26 through 42. Here we read of our Lord's deeply moving experience in prayer to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mark 14, verse 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Then they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand." Once again, let's look at some background notes that'll help us understand this portion of Mark 14. In verse 26, we read that they sung a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. The hymn that they sang, this is after the celebration of the Passover meal, was probably from Psalms 115 to 118. These psalms are part of what's known as the Hallel, or praise, and are sung in the Passover meal right after the cup of thanksgiving. And we saw in our last talk together that it was most likely at this point, when the cup of thanksgiving was taken, that the Lord's Supper was instituted. After the hymn, they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, which was on the lower slopes of the Mount of Olives. In verse 27, the Lord quoted a messianic prophecy from Zechariah 13 and verse 7. "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." He indicated that soon this would be fulfilled. They would scatter as sheep because he would be struck down as the shepherd. But the Lord, you see, is quick to add a note of grace here. In verse 28, he says, "But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Even though they would scatter, yet the Lord would not disown them. He would graciously bring them back together again and go before them to Galilee. Remember, the Lord appeared to the disciples along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. That's where Peter was restored. Notice again the evidence of our Lord's omniscience here. He knew exactly what was going to take place, that he as the shepherd would be struck down, that the sheep would be scattered, that he would be raised, that he would then go before them to Galilee. Certainly an indication of our Lord's omniscience. Now at this point, all the disciples claimed that they would not forsake the Lord. Peter, of course, was the most vocal about this, so much so that the Lord had to tell Peter that before the rooster crowed twice, Peter would deny him three times. Now, the phrase "before the rooster crows" was a proverbial expression in that day, meaning before sunrise. But in this case, a rooster really did crow twice in Peter's hearing, as we see in the last verse of this chapter, verse 72. "And a second time the rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him." In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord prayed while the disciples slept. Even Peter, James, and John, the inner circle of disciples, could not stay awake, even after the Lord has specifically asked them to watch and pray. Verse 38, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready or willing, but the flesh is weak. I think we can all identify with the disciples here, can't we? In the Garden of Gethsemane, we read that the Lord was greatly distressed and troubled. This was not because he was afraid of the physical pain of crucifixion that lay ahead, but because he knew that he would have to suffer the wrath of God for our sins. He would be made a sin offering for us. The name Gethsemane means olive press. It was a fitting name to the place where the Lord was exceedingly sorrowful. As olives are squeezed in an olive press, so our Lord's soul was pressed as he contemplated the awful work of the cross that lay immediately ahead. That then brings us to our doctrinal points for this portion of Mark. Doctrinal point number one, there was no other way to save us. There was no other way to save us. In verses 35 and 36, we read that the Lord prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Verse 36, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. As we said before, the Lord was not shrinking back here from the physical pain of the coming cross. But as he thought upon what it would mean to experience the wrath of God, as he bore the penalty for the sins of the world, he made a request of his Heavenly Father. As the Son of Man, he requested that if it was possible to accomplish this work in any other way, that would be his will. But he quickly adds, you notice, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Notice, by the way, as man, our Lord had a human will, which was distinct from the Father's will. Well, God did not grant that request. The Father did not grant that request because there was no other way to save us. In God's moral universe, there is a penalty for sin. That penalty is death. Not only physical death, but eternal separation from God, spiritual death, eternal separation from God. The only solution for us who are sinners is substitution. But the substitution must be a sinless human being, not a sinless animal, not a sinless angel. The substitution must be a sinless human being because humans sinned. And the eternal Son of God took on humanity in order to be that sinless substitution that was required. There was no other way to save us. Doctrinal point number two. Watching and praying preserves believers from temptation. Watching and praying preserves believers from temptation. Verse 38, once again. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. The disciples should have been watching and praying, but they were sleeping. And they continued to sleep, even after the Lord told them to watch and pray, so that they would not enter into temptation. But they continued to sleep. And as a result, they did yield to temptation. In a short while, they all forsook the Lord and fled. Believers today will be tempted. We need to watch and pray. It's the only thing that preserves us from temptation. We may have great intentions and willpower, but we are all susceptible to spiritual failure. The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to watch and pray. Watching and praying preserves us from temptation. Watching and praying is not easy. It takes work, especially since the flesh is weak. How many of you would agree? The flesh is weak. We need to watch. Watch out for the enemy's deception. Watch out for entanglements in this world. Watch out for becoming desensitized to sin. TV, of course, has a tremendous capacity to do this. Therefore, we need to watch what we watch and pray. Pray about everything. And especially pray that you be preserved from temptation. Remember the Lord's Prayer. May we not be led into temptation. Watching and praying preserves believers from temptation. Practical application. Have you ever prayed an hour? Have you ever prayed an hour? In verse 37, we read that the Lord said to Peter, "Could you not watch 1 hour?" The implication of verse 37 is that the Lord expected his disciples to stay awake and watch and pray for at least an hour. Have you ever prayed an hour? If reward in heaven were based on amount of prayer, where would we be ranked? That's convicting to all of us, isn't it? So often our prayer times are short. Now, there's nothing wrong with short prayers, but we ought to have long prayer times as well. I guess it was Martin Luther who said that he was so busy in the work of the Lord that he had to spend several hours in prayer each day. We need to schedule into our day prayer time. That's hard to do. You know, I find it much easier to schedule in study time than prayer time. But we need to make time for prayer. Have you ever prayed an hour? Practical application number 2. When I am strong, then I am weak. When I am strong, then I am weak. Now that sounds like a backwards text of Scripture, doesn't it? Well, it is. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, "When I am weak, then I am strong." That is, when he was being battered around even to the point of physical weakness, then Paul found that a source of spiritual strength was there from the Lord. And the same is true in our lives. When we are weak, the end of our ropes, many times we'll find strength in the Lord. When I am weak, not trying to do things in my own strength, then I am strong. Well, you see, the converse is true. And we see it here demonstrated in Peter. When I think I can do something for the Lord in just my own physical strength, I find that I fail. When I am strong, then I am weak. Look at Peter. "Lord, you can count on me. I'll never deny you. All the others may stumble." Look at verse 29. "Even if all are made to stumble," meaning the other disciples, right? "But not I. Even if it means that I have to die with you, Lord." Verse 31. "I'll never deny you." Well, what happened a few hours later? Peter thought he was strong, but it was in his own human strength. Thus, he was really weak when the pressure came. And the same is true of us. When we think we are strong in the faith and that we don't need help or support, watch out. You certainly don't have to look too far to find Christian leaders who have fallen morally and spiritually. They tried to live the Christian life in their own strength and found out that they were weak. We need to learn this lesson for sure. When I am strong, then I am weak. When we think we can do it in our own physical strength, that's when we need to watch out. Because when we're strong in that sense, we find we fail. We are really weak. When I am strong, then I am weak.